Okay, our final installment in Shidduchim and Shmiras HaLashon. To be honest, we can also connect it to the Parsha if we really had to, because the Chafetz Chaim in Shmiras HaLashon, in the second piece of Shmiras HaLashon, he connects almost every single Parsha in the Torah to the Yisra of Lashon Hara in some way. So if we wanted to give a sheer connection to the Parsha every week, we could talk about Shmiras HaLashon. The connection this week is the Ketores, that is discussed at the end of the Parsha, and the Ketores is the Gemara Yuma says, the Ketores is Mechaper, in some form for Lashon Hara, and the Chafetz Chaim has a whole drush about that. So, Adkan, we got the point, it's connected to the Parsha, we were Yotzei our, we Yotzei the connection. So, let's discuss this week, and the final piece is the Shadchan. So we discussed so far the person who's inquiring, we've discussed the person who is the receiving the questions, and now we want to talk about the Shadchan. So let's say everybody happens at some point, you meet a nice guy somewhere, you see a girl somewhere, maybe these two should get together, let me set it up, let me see what I can do. You, your wife, people are always thinking, trying to fall in the ways of Hashem and make zivugim, as the Gemara says, that's what Hashem does for the rest of the day after the world was created. So we try to help people out and try to bring people together and to make happy marriages. So what does the Shadchan have to know when it comes to Shmiras HaLashon? They may feel, I'm in a very important position. I have to say this. If I don't say this thing about them, you know, the world's going to fall apart. They're not going to get married. Maybe I shouldn't say this. And therefore, the Shadchan needs to know as well. We've mentioned in the past, there are three levels of chasonos. There are three levels of deficiencies in a person and how it applies to Shmiras HaLashon. We discussed already that a major chisaron, a real serious issue that's not being revealed, must be revealed to the other side. You must. If a person has a serious issue, and it's a problem that would be understood to be an issue according to everybody, you have to say something. A minor chisaron, whatever, not the end of the world, not such a big deal, that most people wouldn't care about, doesn't have to be mentioned at all. A person, his socks never match his shoes. Okay? That's not something you need to go tell the person off the bat. You say information. Either they'll figure it out themselves, or who cares? So the socks don't match the shoes. Colorblind. I would have to say, at first glance, I would have to assume, that's not a pun, I would have to assume that probably not. Because unless it's going to be, there's a genetic, unless there's an illness that comes across with it, or something that could be in a major issue outside of it, but just be able to not tell the difference between reds and greens, I don't think is a reason to say something. Then there's in the middle a chisaron that's somewhere in between, and we discuss that that only has to be brought up if you're asked about it. If the person asks about this issue, then one would have to respond and tell them the truth in that case. What information must the Shadchan offer from the beginning? What does the Shadchan have to say when you pick up the phone and say, I have a good girl, a good guy, let me tell you about them? What do you have to say at the beginning? If there's something about the individual that falls under the major or the in-between chisaron, then the Shadchan has to say something from the outset. Under the conditions that we defined, that it's letoelos for the benefit, it's an important part of them knowing. And the Chafetz Chaim writes in Tziurim, at the end in Tziur Gimel, in Tziur Shenios Gimel, that if there is a person of whom you wouldn't, that if there is a person about whom you wouldn't have to reveal a small chisaron based on the rules of Shmiras HaLashon, the Shadchan may not suggest such a shidduch if the shidduch would not initially be proper. Meaning, even a minor chisaron, the person doesn't match their socks. But you know that that family can't stand it when their socks are not matched, then the Shadchan must say that from the outset. If you know that even that small point would be a sticking point for that individual, you must say that from the outset, says the Chafetz Chaim. And the test that the Chafetz Chaim says is that if the same shidduch was suggested for you and your family, and you would have had theoretically such a hang-up, would you reject the shidduch? If that same thing was offered to you, and you would have been bothered about that thing, objectively, and you could understand where this person would be coming from, or if you put yourselves in their shoes, you would feel that would be an issue, then you may not suggest that to somebody else. We've mentioned this in the past. Just because you have a Jewish guy who is breathing and a Jewish girl who is breathing does not mean they should go out. There needs to be some compatibility between the two. No one is perfect, but there's an understanding that the Shadchan shouldn't suggest a shidduch and withhold information if they themselves wouldn't have been comfortable with such a shidduch. Don't offer a shidduch they're not comfortable with. That, says the Chafetz Chaim, is ground rule number one for Shadchanas. Don't suggest a Shidduch that you feel queasy about, that you feel uncomfortable with. Unfortunately, however, there are people who are not careful about this. Either for money, they'll suggest a Shidduch that is not appropriate, or they have a desire because they think that if you make somebody Shidduchim, you're going to get Olam Haba, whatever it's going to be. It's not true. But whatever it is, you cannot suggest a Shidduch that you know is questionable from the outset. That is Usher, says the Chafetz Chaim. What's the issue over here? So there are six Isurim that we can count, six mitzvos that could be violated to suggest a bad Shidduch. The first, the Chafetz Chaim says in the Tziurim, and Rav Meir Arik writes this in Tshuvas Imre Yosher as well in the Chelek Beis, that suggesting a Shidduch and covering up a Chisaron that could prevent the Shidduch from moving forward is a violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol. That's the first thing. The Sifra explains on that Pasuk, Al Titin Lo Eitz Hashena Hogenes Lo. Don't set up a person with bad advice. Setting up a bad Shidduch knowingly is a violation of Lifnei Iver. Two, the Chafetz Chaim writes, in the psicha of the arur, in the curses, he writes in the beginning that it's a violation of Devarim Chav Zayim that says, arur mishaga iver bederach, one who misleads the blind person on the path. And the Sifra and the Chinuch and Rashi all explain, referring to suggesting bad advice. Three, the Chafetz Chaim writes in the Tziurim, it violates lo samod adam reyacha, to stand by idly when another person fails. Four, the Mishkanos Yaakov writes in Choshen Mishpat, in Siman and Tes, cites the Ibn Ezra, who says that it's a violation of a lo sonu isha samid, so, onas dvarim, to cause a person pain. You know you're setting up a person for a possible painful situation. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Mechira in Perek Yud Ches, this is number 5, that it's usur to mislead someone in business or a transaction by withholding information about a mum. It's gnevas das, says the Rambam. Lo signovu, gnevas das, would be an issue of offering up an improper shidduch. And finally, there's a fascinating letter from Rav Dessler to Rav Volbi. In the Sefer Zikaron, Lebal HaMichtav Melyahu, the collection of letters that were collected after Dessler passed away. So the way these Sefer Zikarons work is that people send in letters they have that have not been published before. So Rav Volbi, a young Rav Volbi, had, this is in the 50s, had letters from Rav Dessler to him that he published in this work. So listen, this question was about a particular shidduch. Says Rav Dessler to Rav Volbi, because you can't really talk about a shidduch unless you feel like you know both sides a little bit. You have to know as much as you can about each side. Each one fits with each other. Hein biyiras shemayim in their frumkeit, hein bemidos in their midos, hein bekochos hanefesh v'haseichel, their capabilities, their personalities, hein mitzad chinucha v'hashkafaseyan, the way they were brought up, their hashkafa. You have to know that doesn't mean it has to be exactly, but you have to know they're going to meld together in some way. Vehein mitzad sivivasam, kroveyam, videtem, their friends, their family. Ba'ofen shalifi meitav havanaso, according to the best of your understanding, yachlit shekarav levadai etzlo, it should be almost certain to you, ki eila hashnayim yiyu musharim l'chayim, that these people will be happy together. When a person suggests to people that they should go out, and perhaps get married, the first thing Rav Dessler says you need to think about is, will these two people be happy together for the rest of their lives? That should be the first thing you think about. Will they be happy together for the rest of their lives? And if that's not the first thing that pops into your head, then maybe this is not a good idea. L'daver l'shadeich b'liyadiyah kazu, to talk and make shidduchim without this, mashmali shizeu hefech v'yahafta l'reyach hakamocha. Says Rav Dessler, to suggest a bad shidduch is a violation of v'yahafta l'reyach hakamocha. Kamocha mamish. You would be annoyed if somebody offered you something that would make you like a blind person in the dark, wandering around, not knowing what's going on. You could cause damage if not making a proper shidduch. And he writes in parentheses, and the people involved will walk into it not knowing what's going on. They'll be blind walking in such situations. So yeah. I hear. So each one, you hurt each one. See, so that's, each one's going to be 6, 12. It could be 12 times, 12 Isurim.
But does it require intent?
What?
Does it require intent to be over the Isur? I want it to be good. It turns out to be bad. My over Isur.
Well, if you're negligent, if I think of these two people and I say, Well, whatever, they'll figure it out, they'll make it work.
No,
we're talking about a person, if obviously you had the best intentions, we're not talking about it. We're talking about the situation here is a person who says...
He has respect.
He says, whatever.
Being wrong.
Either he has negative intentions, or he's just being lazy and not responsible.
Any mistake doesn't cause.
Correct, 100%, for sure. You tried your best. Okay, so those you have to be so careful when suggesting a shidduch. Six mitzvahs in the Torah. Okay, what can you hide when suggesting a shidduch? There are some circumstances where you can withhold information about a chisara. We'll begin with the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos from Hey Amral says that when a child of a guy or a slave and a Jewish woman would come before Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda would tell them, go conceal your paternal heritage, and so that people won't refrain from giving your daughters as a shidduch, and you'll marry into Klal Yisrael. The father was a guy, the mother was Jewish. He said, go move to another town, no one will know where you're from, you'll marry, you're Jewish, not misleading anybody, you're Jewish, you'll get married, and you'll be fine. Keep that. Why do you have to tell everybody your father's not Jewish? If you tell everybody your father's not Jewish, you might not get a shidduch. So Rabbi Yehuda would tell people to do this. So from this Gemara, the Stipler writes in the Kilos Yaakov and Yevamos and Simon Memdalid that there's no Gnevas Das because Bidiyeved, this is the rule of the Stipler, because Bidiyeved after the wedding, if they were to find out that they would find out about this piece of information, they wouldn't want to be Mevatel, the marriage and divorce. If it's something, said the Stipler, I'm just going to tell you, most people do not agree to this, but we're using the Stipler as a starting point. The Stipler says, if the chisaron is something that if the day after the wedding they found out they wouldn't go for a divorce, then in such a case, it's not gnevas dats, not really information. That is a very extreme sheet of the Stipler. That's a very low bar also of a chisaron. The Stipler writes, this is in the Kilos Yaakov and Yevamos Mem Dalid, that if it is something, that if the morning after the wedding they were to find out this thing, they would not go to the rabbi and ask for a get, it's not Gnevas Das to reveal the information. What?
The Stipler himself. If you have this case.
Did he have the case? Yeah. He's not talking... It's not a tshuva. He's writing it in Lamdas, in his Chedushim and Yevamos. This is what he says. This is the statement of the Stipler. Most Acharonim disagree. The Tzitzel Yezer, and they discuss the Kilos Yaakov and Yevamos. It's in yeshivas, when you learn Yevamos, so this is a piece that's learned. The Tzitzel Yezer and Chelik Yizayin Simem Tes says there's certainly in Israel none such a case, and this is also the opinion of Rosh Lama Zaman Arbach. Rebel Yashiv and the Kovet Shuvas and Chelik Dal Simem Kufya Tes. And the Sefer Meida L'Shidduchim, which is a book on Lashon Hara and Shidduchim, rejects the proof of the Stipler. He says, that's not what the Gemara is talking about. He says, the Gemara has a machlokas in halacha. Rabbi Yehuda says there's no psul for the father to be not Jewish. And the other opinion says there is a psul for the father to be Jewish. It doesn't make him not Jewish, but it's a psul. It's considered halachically a negative thing for such a person to have a non-Jewish father. So, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda sees there halachically there's no chisaron. This person is 100% fine. And therefore, nothing has to be revealed. In Rabbi Yehuda's mind, what's the chisaron? There's no issue at all. However, this says nothing about a pagam that's objective and may be hurtful to the other person. Rabbi Yehuda's discussion in Yevamos is in his world, in his Dal Amos, what's the big deal? The guy's perfectly fine. But if I step out of his Dal Amos and I have a psul, I have something off about this person that is objectively an issue that most people would say, I wish I would have known about that beforehand. So in such a case, it has to be revealed. It would certainly be an isser, and it would be hurtful if it's not disclosed. And such a begam, such a valyasha, must be revealed by the person who has it. So Rav Nissen Karelitz goes further, and he also rejects the Gemara as a proof, because the Gemara is referring to Amayratzos. It's referring to people who don't know about halacha, and don't know the finer aspects of how what the halacha says, what is mutter, what's asr, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. And they think there's a chisaron about such an individual. Now we know that at the end of the day, there's nothing wrong with a person whose father is not Jewish. Rav Yehuda was talking to a population in his community where they didn't, the father's not Jewish, throw the whole thing out. So he said, because these people are not knowledgeable, we have to sidestep the system because they don't understand what they're talking about. However, if there's an actual real chisaron that's objectively a problem, says Ernest and Corrales, then you have to reveal it. And he says the practical application is a medical condition. If the doctors say there's no need to reveal such a medical condition, there's nothing serious about it, it's not going to affect you, it's not going to affect the children, it's not going to affect the wife in any way, the spouse in any form whatsoever, then there's no reason for the shadchan to say anything about it, because it will have zero implication later on. Now, the discussion of medical conditions and what you reveal is a broad topic. We don't have time for right now, but in Rabbi Feldman's beautiful book on Shmiras HaLashon, in his work False Facts and True Rumors on page 111, he has a laundry list of chulos who discuss all the different issues of medical conditions, what should be revealed, what doesn't have to be revealed, and things like that. And certainly, halacha lemaisa, if a person is unsure what medical condition should be revealed, they should certainly go and ask a competent halachic medical authority to guide them in that case as well. But that's a good practical implication here. Rav Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, the Av Beis and the Eidech HaRedis, writes in the Av Yisrael and Simon in Chelek Tes in Os Kuf Lamed Daled, that would be usher to not reveal important medical information. Rav Sternbach and Chuvas Vanagos in Chelek Alf and Tufta Fine Tes list medical conditions that may or may not be revealed for Shidduchim. He discusses diabetes, ulcers, having one kidney, mental disorders, mental illness in the family, things like that. And with any question about revealing medical information, obviously you have to turn to the right place as well. A good rule of hand should always be, what would break the off the wedding before the wedding is probably a good indication of what you should reveal beforehand. That's something you should think about. The shadchan should say, this is information I have. Is this something that if the other side found out about, they would break off the wedding beforehand? It's probably something you want to reveal beforehand as well. Okay.
There's a difference, what would break off the wedding is fine the day before, versus, let's say, 6 months before, somebody might decide before they go on the relationship not to go into something. Obviously, yeah. Before you know the person, so which task is
it? I would say we're probably leading more towards the later end.
I mean, so it's really bad. Not
correct.
Because if you found out this person had something, I'll pick that person.
Because if there's five people for them to go out with,
they'll pick four of them.
They'll pick, why am I going to waste my time with this? But if it's something at the end of the day, they'll be okay with it. You don't have to reveal it initially. Correct. 100%. Okay. When must it be revealed is another important thing as well. Not every chesaron has to be revealed right away. So Rav Moshe writes in the Gros Moshe Orachaim Chelek Dal Tzimin Kuf Yud Ches, he was asked about a young woman who behaved improperly as a young woman. She did things that were not appropriate. Bahamev and Yavin, she did the wrong things. And then she did shuva, she became a Baal Shuva. So such a person, says Rav Moshe, doesn't have to speak about their past immediately. Only after the shidduch becomes serious and there's a possibility of getting married, person can reveal perhaps mistakes they made in the past and talk about those things there as well. The Shevet Halevi in Chelek Vav and Simon Reshe was asked about a young woman whose hair had fallen out and wore a wig, probably something like alopecia, something like that. And the doctor said there's nothing medically wrong with her. Perfectly healthy, doesn't affect her, doesn't affect her children in any form at all. And Rav Vosner said she doesn't have to say anything the first couple of times she meets the guy. This should only be revealed when the shidduch looks more serious and it looks like it's moving towards something more than just going out. Then, says Rav Ozner, you have to reveal something like that as well. Rav Yashav in the Tzione Halacha is cited that if something that may break the shidduch exists, you shouldn't wait until it becomes serious. You have to judge and guess the other side would break the shidduch based on this information. If they would break the shidduch, then it's not fair to hold out and then reveal the information. It's probably, says, more upsetting to become invested in a shidduch and then have to be caught off guard by it, and then have to break it off afterwards. And Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that you shouldn't wait until the shidduch is about to be settled. Rather, each case needs to be judged on its own. One needs to decide when it's the best time to reveal sensitive information. And again, one has to decide and discuss those things before as well. It is possible that it's not usher for the shadchan to make a proposal that a chisaron, that it has such a chisaron if the match and it's not defective. Meaning, the shadchan can still suggest things in that case, and then they will still be able to work about it after the shadchan puts it out there as well. Okay, the last issue of Shmiras HaLashon for the shadchan is, often you'll get this, the person with shadchan will come and say, they don't want to go out again. They want to break it off. And the person will say, why? Can you tell me why they wanted to break it off? What was there something wrong with me? Or the shadchan wants to know, or also ask, can you tell me why the shidduch wasn't good, so I can perhaps then make a better decision for you next time. The guy and girl went out. The guy says, I don't want to go out anymore. So the shadchan says, well, tell me what the issue is. So then if I want to try somebody else for you to go out with, I can help narrow it down better. I need information to make a better decision. So Rav Nissen Karelis writes in the Chutshani, in Lashon Hara, on page Shin Ayin Aleph, Rav Yitzhak Silber, who's a Rav in Yerushalayim, writes in Mishpatei HaShalom, that if there's a shidduch proposal that one side is not interested in moving forward, if they have not yet decided to reject the offer, and there's a chance that the matchmaker will be able to benefit and advance the shidduch, then it's mutter to tell the shadchan your feelings about the other side. I'm not sure yet if we want to go out again. If I tell the shadchan my feelings why, then maybe the shadchan can finesse it, you know, help it go through at the end of the day. However, if you have already decided, the guy gets home from the date, the girl gets home from the date and says, not a chance, not another date for the rest of my life, I don't want to see them again, worst 3 hours of my life, I cannot believe I did this, and they already decided it's no go, so then the shadchan says, tell me new, I'll help you figure it out. And the guy says, no. You cannot reveal why. Because it's not going to be a toelis. You're not going to help the shidduch along, says Rav Nissen Karelis, says the Mishpatei Shalom. You're just speaking Lashon Hara about what's wrong with this person. He says, the shadchan cannot press the family to explain what's wrong with the other side once the family has decided not to go through. Doing so would be a violation of Ne'iver. And even if the shadchan claims she needs to know it as a toelis for the next time, it's not allowed. Because it's not a direct toelis. It's not a toelis for right now. It's until who knows if I'm a shadchan's ever going to call me back again. Who knows if we're ever going to talk again? That's not a toelis.
Why does that be something wrong for shadchan
to go through? Correct. Meaning there is something wrong. Assuming in this case there is something wrong.
Okay.
A person, whatever the reasons are, we're not going to give too many examples. But you should simply say exactly. Simply say it's not a good match. It wasn't a good match, and that's the end of the discussion. So Rav Menachem Mendel Fuchs, who's the rabbi of Kiryas Shomrei Chamos in Ramot. So he has a kuntros called Sheila Shalom. So he says that it may depend on what the chisaron is, what's lacking in the person. If the issue is the lacking, it's not a chisaron, but it's not a good match, so then you can say something. This person's personality wasn't a good match for me. I don't think there's something wrong with them, but the way this person conducted themselves, the way this person spoke, what I found out about this person only went to Harvard. I want people who went to Yale. Okay, Nebuch, the person went to Harvard, not Yale, so what are you going to do? So if I say that, is that a chisar on the person? No, it's just not for me. Something like that. Or, if the issue is something that is openly obvious about the person, like a disability, so it's not a problem to explain the issue because the shadchan already is aware of this. The person has an open physical disability. And the person is not interested in going out with such a person. So it's not Lashon Hara. The shadchan is aware of that disability as well. However, if it is something about the personality that looks the intelligence, there's no reason to specify the issue to the shadchan. Because it's not going to help anything going forward in such a case. So I want to quote from Rav Silver writes in the Mishpatei HaShalom, important advice for the shadchanim. He writes very beautifully, very powerfully. He says, V'chein darosh zihirosh yaseiru l'shadchanim. The shadchanim has to be so careful. U'l'chol mishema'ura b'chol anosim ha'elu. One who involves themselves in these matters, shelo yiflatu mipiyam dvarim she'inam l'toelos. Don't spit out things that are not helpful. Shirak biglal shika'es ozim la'anashim. Because right now you're helping people. Ein lahem shum heter stam l'hachlef meida. You can't simply go and do whatever you want and say things that are not helpful. Any word that does not have the heter of toelas, it's a terrible sin. Shadchanim should not use the license as a shadchan, as a badge to do whatever they want, to say whatever they want, to speak about whoever they want, to ask whatever they want. The shadchan needs to know they're bound by the rules of Shemesh Lashon. Sometimes shadchanim often equal yentas. The two often go hand in hand. That's the fiddler on the roof. There you go. The two often go hand in hand. They work together because that's the personality. They want to do, they want to know, they want to mingle, they want to get involved. So says Rav Silber, shadchanim does not equal a license to yenta. You have to follow the rules of Shnas HaLashon. It's not a get out of jail free card. It's whatever you want at the end of the day. We'll just end with the following thing. This is rare, but sometimes this comes up. I had a couple of questions like this before. Who's better? Okay? Two things are offered up as a possible shidduch. I was told about Rachel and I was told about Leah. Who's better? Who should I go out with? So the Sefer Ne'imas HaChaim says that if someone asks the Shadchan, who's better? Two families called me. Who's better to go out with? So you're allowed to answer as this would be L'Toelis. The Afike Ayel says it's usher to answer such a question. I saw in the Sefer Bayom Shiyadubar on page 100, you may not ask this question when you have no intent of dating one of them, and you're only asking in order to compare them. You just like to, you want to know. You want to know what's going on in the field. But not you have no intent of dating one or the other. It's a better question to not ask. I think it's a question that is maguna. I think it's not an appropriate question to ask who's better. You should not be comparing two Jews to each other or two human beings. Who's better? And a person should make their best decision of what to do at the end of the day. So just to bring everything together, shidduchim, shadchanim, people who ask questions, people who answer questions, on one hand need to walk on the tightrope of lo samar adam reyacha to make sure that there are good and happy marriages in Klal Yisrael. On the other hand, also have to walk on the other side of the tightrope, which is to not defame people's personalities and reputations and violate Shmiras HaLashon. Okay.